It's time for the best 60 minutes of your life. This is the Homer Hour, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Alongside former Packer Brian Belaga, here's Emmy Award winner Homer.
The best 60 minutes of your day, the Brian Belaga Homer Hour, along with the best segment of the week. Brian Belaga and Jason Wilde, and I just listen. Once in a while, I sneak in a question, but not as often as I generally do. We certainly have a discussion regarding the NFL and their union, which I don't understand at all. I'll introduce Brian Belaga. If something's going on between the union, I mean the players' union and the owners, and the player reps for each team don't know about it, you just fire everybody that's leading the union, right?
Well, this is an interesting ordeal, and I got sent it today this morning by someone I talk about a lot on here, Corey Linsley. He sent it to me this morning, and I've read all the articles. It's all over, obviously, ESPN. That was the article I read. That's what I sent to you. And then I've read the ones on Pro Football Talk. They're all over the place of what's kind of been going on over the last 24 to 48 hours. And there's a couple different ways that this could go about. And obviously, I don't know if any of the listeners have been going on, but apparently what's going on is the head of the NFLPA, our leader that, you know, does all the negotiations for the union, apparently he is in a private equity group that is looking to buy, or in a group that wants to buy an NFL franchise. He's in that group that wants, which is a complete conflict of interest.
Right. Now, let me just stop there. No, just let me stop there. He's done. Like, yes. all these other issues and what was done and what doesn't matter. We have a vote today. He's out.
Yes.
Right? I don't know what the rules are in terms of each team has a player rep, right? Or
yes. Right? Each team has a player rep, and from what I understand, and I'd have to triple check my NFLPA constitution.
Right.
You know, rule book and everything like that. But from what I know, that if it's 2/3 of the current player reps get together and they vote, he's done.
Right.
From what I know. Hmm. Or the executive board, which I have the list of who's on the executive board. Brandon McManus is one of them, who is the Green Bay Packers kicker, I believe. If they get together, they can also end this before the player reps get together themselves. They don't even have to let the player reps get together. Right. So there's a couple different ways to go about this. Either way you look at it, very inappropriate. Because you look at what was going on earlier throughout the year or throughout this offseason, and you remember, Jason's talked about it. There was this thing of collusion going on between the owners and Goodell, and it got a court case got brought about it about collusion with guaranteed contracts, right, and this and that.
And the guy who looked at it said that there was nothing, that he didn't have any grounds, but he said it's clearly they are working together. No kidding. The owners don't have to collude to avoid guaranteed contracts. They don't want to give them.
Yes.
Okay. By the way, the owners are colluding. They don't want to pay a player $1 billion. No kidding. I mean, the whole thing is just so bizarre. Other than that, it has nothing to do to me with the topic. It has to do is how, as a player, am I being represented in terms of what information I'm getting? Even if it was about a meeting they were having about too many turtles. I don't care if it's about whatever. If the leader is not properly informing the union leaders, whatever, he's gone today. Take it away.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's that whole thing that was going on with the the collusion aspect, the minute that word even comes about when it regarding the players, right, and when it affects the players from a contractual standpoint and how it can impact players, the PA should be all over that, and they should be fighting that and taking it to any district court that will hear it and continue to fight it until nobody else will hear it ever again. Like that, that's how far it should be taken. But it wasn't, it was essentially just stopped. And it makes you double think, why was that stopped? Why did that just end abruptly like that? And you know, you could say it was one thing, you say it was the other thing, but like, there's too many things that just don't make sense about it. And now this report comes out. And to me, you know, I don't know all the player reps from the teams. Obviously, I recognize some of the names from the, you know, there's some big names from the executive board. Cam Hayward, obviously McManus. There's a couple other big name guys on there. Calais Campbell. There's some big name players on this executive board. This should not be a difficult decision. Like, this is not a difficult decision of not even having the best interests of the current players. It's also the former guys as well, because these things are not just acting of, like, this guy's just not, you know, acting on behalf of the guys that are currently in the league or going to be coming into the league. He's acting on behalf of all the former guys. And I'm just not talking about me. I'm talking about guys well before me as well, that when new CBAs get done, things get negotiated for the guys that came well before me as well. And things get redone for them as well, from health benefits and all these different things. So, like, you have to look at this at the best interest of everybody. And is this really going to be done? Is this guy looking out for the best interest of everyone? And the more stuff that comes out, you really have to wonder, is it? And I just don't know. I mean, I was shocked by this. There's absolutely, I mean, you look at the last few, you know, head of RPAs, DeMarie Smith, whatever you think or whatever you thought, if he was good, bad, or indifferent, he didn't have a side gig. He didn't have any side gig. There was no side hustle he had in a private firm or anything like that. No, his gig was the head of the PA. That was his job. Whether you thought he did bad or he was great at it, didn't matter what you thought. He was all in on trying to do his best for the players. And that's what he did. And you know what? Like, at the end of the day, that's what I respected him for, whether you thought he did a good job or a bad job, right? So, like, at this point in time, you look at all of these, you know, you look at all these really high-end quarterbacks that are pulling in the $50-plus million a year that have all the say in this league. They make all the calls in this league. They pull all the respect. This is their time now to speak up. This is how they move the needle. They, you know, they have all the voices of all the locker rooms and everything. All they need to do is stand up and say, all right, this has got to be it. Like, this is it. We got to move on. Like, we can't have this anymore. Like, we got to find a new leader of our union. And that would be it. Like, the Mahomes, the Rodgers, like, all these guys, the Josh Allens, the, you know, the Lamar Jacksons, they just need to stand up and say, that's it. Nope. Can't have it. Can't have a guy having a vested interest within the guys we're supposed to be negotiating against.
And not do his job. Here's the facts as I got them. The issue, the Players Association filed a lawsuit in 2022 alleging that after the Deshaun Watson contract, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell and General Counsel Jeff Patch encouraged owners to restrict guaranteed money in future player contracts, which the Players Association argues violates the CBA. First of all, Goodell and his counsel don't have to say anything. Every owner doesn't want to do guaranteed contracts. But anyway, aside Correct. From that. The arbitrator's ruling in January of 2025, an arbitrator found that while there wasn't enough evidence of collusion to lower salaries, Goodell and Pash did encourage owners to limit guaranteed money. However, the arbitrator ruled in favor of the NFL because the union couldn't prove that teams acted on this advice. Of course they could. They've been against it long before you filed this and the Deshaun Watson was such a horrible contract. It would convince any owner with a brain to be against that idea or won that much in guarantee. Anyway, secrecy and appeal. The ruling was initially confidential, but recently became public because, what's the guy's name on ESPN? I don't know if he's with ESPN anymore. He released this. The association is appealing the decision. They announced that in the last day, right? Stating their responsibility will enforce the CBA and protect player interests. Which, again, this is why I fired the guy. A ruling came out in January of 2025. Why don't you go public with it? What's... And then appeal it then. It's clear to me they're appealing it now only because they've been embarrassed. But I don't know.
Yes.
I think they're going to lose again because I think the whole concept is stupid. Like, Roger Goodell and general counsel have encouraged owners to pay their players less. No kidding. And they can't because it's all about a percentage, correct? You get a certain percentage of
it's you're sharing the revenue.
Right.
It's a rev share.
So if you guaranteed some money, that would limit your ability to give it to somebody else. You're going to spend the same amount of money either way, right? I mean, you got so much money according to the cap.
Yep.
There may be ways to get around the cap, but yeah, I mean, I think the lawsuit was insane. And again, you have to prove that there was some collusion and suggested that the commissioner is suggesting you don't have guaranteed money. He probably said you don't want to have a contract as stupid as this, but we don't know his exact words. But in terms of I've never been a member of union, but I'm a member of this union. Dude's gone. Now, how many people knew the results in January 2025? Because if I know, I'm going to say, well, go public with this. Are you going to appeal it if you think it's wrong? We need to let everybody know that we think this is crap, that we think the arbitrator is wrong. I mean, maybe they didn't want to spend the money because the legal advice they were getting was, this was a stupid thing in the first place. You're going to lose it again and more money. But you have to say something.
At least make it public.
Yes.
At least let the players know that you're doing
right.
something about it, right? Like, at least let the players know you're doing something.
Is Lindsley player rep?
No. Lindsley's completely out of it.
Oh,
Lindsley's,
Corey's.
No. Corey's.
Sorry, Corey.
I mean, Corey's on vacation. He sent me that article on vacation, I think.
Oh, okay.
So,
but he's still in the league, right?
No, Corey's not playing anymore.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. I also know that Peyton Manning's not playing anymore, so I just want to let you know I'm on top of things. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is just former players talking about it.
Yeah, because you're still, to some degree, represented by them, right? I mean, as a...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure. Like, and that's, like, that's the thing. Like, as these CBAs and things happen, we get impacted by new negotiations every time a new CBA comes up. Things happen and benefits get impacted and the way things work out things happen. So,
yeah,
like,
they might take care of you better in terms of future benefits to veteran players or something, right? Yeah, that's always an issue.
It could be better. It could be worse. You never know. you never know. Like, that's the thing. So, like, you pay attention to current events and what's happening within the league and who's running your side of the negotiation table. Like, you just have to. And when something like this happens, right, like, and as long as people have been saying, like, and I hear it all the time from, because I got buddies that are, especially down here in Florida, that are pro golfers or they're baseball players and you know, their unions and things like that. They always go, like, man, why do you guys always seem to get, like, raw ends of the deal? Like, why does that always seem to happen?
Yeah, what do you say?
And then you don't really know what to say.
You know what I would say if I were you? I'd say, look it, you don't understand how short a career is in the NFL and how great a risk there is in injury. So everybody wants to get as much money as they can as quickly as they can. And
normally what I end up saying is when these things come push to shove, when voting time comes push to shove, the owners know if you're able to shove as much money in front of guys as you can without them looking at hindsight later down in life, they're going to take the money in the short term, right? They're going to look at that in short term because of exactly what you said. The playing career is really short. And that's the thing. And to get so many members of the union, right? Our union is huge with the guys that are voting, right? I mean, I think we have the biggest union out of all the pro sports with the guys on the team and everything like that. You look at it because it's practice squad and active guys that all get to vote. So you're talking, you know, 60 or 70 plus guys a team that get to vote every time a new CBA comes up. So you're trying to get all these guys to vote in a certain way, and it never goes a certain way. So it's very difficult to stand strong against something that you don't feel is a good deal, right? It's hard to do that.
You're going to lose out to the majority.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. So, and that's normally why it happens. So, but then on the flip side, when a story like this comes out, right, it doesn't do the NFL Players Association or the players any favors.
Yeah. Why would the guy in charge think that he could get away with this? Right.
I have no idea.
I mean, I apologize if all the leaders were informed, you know, in January of 2025, because if he told all those people in January this year and they didn't tell anybody, or they agreed to keep it private for whatever reason they decided, then it's on them. But like, nobody is saying anything.
I'm going to tell you this much. If the entire executive committee knew about this, if the entire executive committee knew about this and they decided to keep this hush as well, time to start anew with the executive committee.
Or,
you can't have this.
Yeah, or they got to have a damn good reason. And that reason should have come out the second the story was released by the guy, Pablo Torres, I think it is. And right away, the guy says, look, let's just, you don't want to know the whole story. The guy told us this was the issue or whatever. Instead, we got nothing until today when they're going to appeal which just makes them look like, right, you caught us, right? Now we're going to appeal 6 months later.
This is a really bad look on the union. It's a really bad look, and now they're about to, you know, training camp's around the corner, and now these guys are about to be back in locker rooms here pretty soon.
Yeah.
And now this is going to be something guys get asked about, right? Now, this is a distraction guys are going to get asked about that they don't need to even be asked about. It is not, you know what I'm saying? Right. It's something really foolish.
Wasn't the leader a former Packer? Wasn't he the center? The guy, smart guy, went, what was his name?
J.C. Treader.
Yeah, what was, Treader was a big shot. He got out of it or something recently, or what? Did they kick him out?
Since he's a non-player anymore, he can't be technically the president, but he's got another job. What's it called? It's called he's got another gig. It's the chief of something within the union. Now. Oh, okay. He's got another gig.
So he knows what's going on.
He knows what's going on, and you know, if he probably knows, well, obviously he knows now what's going on. I mean, the Pro Football Talk article went after him pretty good. That's the thing, and I know JC. JC is probably one of the most honest people I know. So, like, that article kind of going after him.
You're not buying it.
I don't know.
You're not buying it.
No. Yeah I'm not buying that. Like, because JC's like has so much like honesty and integrity behind him that like I just can't. Right. I don't think JC's doing anything.
Right. It's hard for you to believe that he would be a part of something that's so bad. Like what I know about him, and I know way less than you. I would have thought that he would have resigned from his position if something this bad, stupid, whatever. I'll use all the words you want. Was taking place, but I mean, I could be giving too much credit.
Well, I think if he knew about it, he would have done something about it. There's no way he could have sat there and just felt like, oh yeah, that's fine, like that's okay,
right? The guy that you know.
Yes, exactly. Right. I don't feel that about JC.
All right, we got a break and we'll bring Jason Wilde in here because I need some time off. This has just been taking so much of my energy that I need to listen a little bit. So I'll listen to Jason Wilde and the doctor of football, Brian Bulaga, next.
You're listening to the Homer Hour on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Jason Wilde, is ready to go, but even Jason Wilde has to wait as Brian Bulaga talks about his partner.
That's right. I'm here to talk about my friends at Surfside. Summer is heating up. I would know. I'm down here in Florida. It is like 110 degrees. I step outside and I'm sweating. But there is nothing more refreshing than a nice cold Surfside iced tea and vodka or Surfside lemonade and vodka to break the heat. It's just as simple as this. There's nothing better than Surfside that you could grab when you're in the grocery store or wherever you're at and you see it on the shelf. It just tastes cleaner than all those other drinks you see. It doesn't have that sugary, nasty taste when you take a sip of it. You won't regret drinking one or two like you do all the other ones. It has great flavors like my favorite, the half lemonade, half tea, peach tea, raspberry lemonade, and so many more. Made with real brewed tea, real vodka, Surfside's only 100 calories, 2 grams of sugar, and zero bubbles. That's right. No carbonation, so it's easy to sip and enjoy no matter what your plans are this weekend. Look for the can with the sunset stripes, sold at bars, restaurants, and stores near you. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
It's time for Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
The best three-man segment on 94.5 ESPN all week long. Brian Bulaga and Jason Wilde talking, and I do my job listening. I'm very good. All right, because he's so nice, the doctor of football, Brian Bulaga, always starts the show.
Jason, good evening. How are you?
He just makes this so awkward, doesn't he? Like, he can't help himself. It's always got to be awkward with this guy.
I mean, he's Homer, man.
Come on, let's get to the stuff. Exactly. Let's get to the info, you guys. Come on.
All right, sorry.
It's July 10th. What could you possibly have that's more pressing than your unique brand of introducing this segment?
Hold on. I'll have to just do one thing in here. You got this huge fight between the union. I suggest every leader in the union, the big star, should be fired. J.C. Treader's a huge part of it, was the leader. Now it's a separate world. You know the person. We discussed it for how long, Dr. Football? 20-some minutes. What is going on, and shouldn't the leadership automatically be fired for lack of informing their players unless a piece of information has been left out? Next.
Yeah, no, so you've solved this, so I don't even really have to chime in.
I want to know what you think. You know the stuff, these people.
Well, I covered J.C. Treader as a player. I don't know him, personally the way Brian does, and I don't want to, I don't know what his role has become. He was obviously among the player portion of their leadership. He was the head honcho, but Demoris Smith had been the head of it, and now they replaced him with this guy that I was reading about this morning. First of all, look, I feel like conflicts of interest are fairly obvious, fairly simple, and anytime you try to ignore them, you get what you deserve, which is you get bit in the butt. And this guy should not be in charge of the he's got a conflict of interest. He shouldn't be in charge of the Players Association. And more importantly, I don't know when the NFLPA is ever going to get its collective you-know-what together, but my goodness, man, like, you lose every negotiation. You never really hold out for the things that matter the most. Now we've got this impasse with all these agents who, for a change, are the real agents of change here, trying to get all the second-round picks contracts fully guaranteed. It's only 4 out of the 32, the last time I looked, had been signed. Like, the NFL owners, they have the advantage on absolutely everything. They get municipalities to pay for their stadiums. They don't have guaranteed contracts for their players. They collude. They get away with all this stuff. They don't give players what they should give them in collective bargaining in terms of long-term health care. They cover up concussion issues. Like, the NFL is the Teflon league, and my issue is to capitulate as the union. I mean, how on earth do you agree to keep the findings of this collusion arbitration private? Like, I just don't understand what they're doing over there. And Brian, if I was a player, I would just be exasperated by the fact that my leadership gets its ass kicked by the NFL every single time, and they always seem to give in.
I mean, I'm 100%, and like I said to Homer, you know, before you got on, this is like the time, if this report dropped, this is the time where you need all your $40 million plus guys in the league to stand up right now and go, this is it. Like, this is enough. Like, this is ridiculous. Those guys aren't the guys that need the help, right? Like, the guys that are making 40 plus a year, those aren't the guys that need the help, but those are the guys that need to stand up and, you know, and really help everyone else out here. Because those are the guys that have the pull in the locker room. They have the pull with the national media. They have the pull with the teams. And they're the ones that move the needle. So those are the guys right now that need to stand up to the union and go, this guy needs to go. There's no questions asked. He needs to go. All the player reps, I believe it's two-thirds, can meet right now over a Zoom call and go, he's done. Like, so he's out. Like, I believe that's the constitution of the union. I'd have to triple check. Like I told Homer, I think that's still the way it goes. Or the executive committee could meet over a Zoom call and they could do it, I think. So like those guys.
Or Brian, this guy could just resign, which is what he should do.
Yes.
That's the bottom line. Like it shouldn't have to come to that. He should just resign and admit that I should have never taken, I get it, right? Nobody roots for the media. I get it. But this is the kind of stuff, and kudos to Don Van Natta and Kalen Kaler for doing this story, because obviously ESPN is a big partner of the NFL. They've obviously got their games on their network. It's a huge piece of what ESPN, the big ESPN, does. And kudos to them for still doing real journalism on this, because the players, I'm just so, and I understand, right? Fans root for color jerseys. They don't necessarily root for specific players, and they certainly have no problem when one player leaves, they just find a new favorite player. I get all of that. But I'm just so tired of players always getting the short end. And no one, you know, the pushback I always get is, well, they're millionaires. Yeah, that's true. But instead you root for the billionaires who always win and always get their way, even if they have to cheat to do it. Like, this is exasperating. I would be so mad if I was a player, because again, it has come to the surface because those reporters dug further into the executive in charge of the NFLPA because of the collusion decision and the fact that why on earth would you agree to keep it private? Why would you do that?
Exactly.
What are you getting in exchange? You're not getting guaranteed contracts. Like, here's the example I used this morning. Like, this is exactly, and I understand you guys get signing bonuses. And again, I'm not asking for everyone to feel, oh, poor NFL players with their millions of dollars. I get it. There's people, you know, as my close friends used to say, that the dads of my friends who, you know, worked at Harnischfeger and Alice Chalmers and the guys that worked their asses off as, you know, middle class Milwaukeeans. No, those are the guys that work hard. I get it. I'm not asking for sympathy toward players, but given the billions upon billions of dollars that the league makes, this is why stupid stuff like not adjusting Elgton Jenkins' contract after you publicly said he's an all-pro player at center. That's the stuff that really, I'm supposed to stay unbiased, but I don't understand that. Like, just do the right thing by a player that you see as a core player. These are such minuscule things in the big picture, and the NFL always gets away with not doing them. And I just find it so exasperating.
I couldn't agree more.
I do want to put a word in for J.C. Treader, because I think the only thing that really matters is percentage of revenue. And when he took over, it was 45. Now it's 48.8. I mean, really, isn't that the biggest amount that matters to everyone? How much money do we get? How much money is coming to us? Right?
Right. And but again, I think there's other aspects too. You're right. That is certainly better. And I'll predict this. I bet the owners try and take some of that back on the next negotiation. They're not going to say, now let's go 50-50.
They'll go to 18 games and the union will demand 50%.
Yeah.
They won't
and then we'll have a strike.
Yep.
No, they won't get it.
They won't get it?
They won't get 50%. They won't get 50%. Right. Not a chance.
No. Nope, I would agree.
But, no, the union, and listen, and Jason knows this too, because this is how this always goes. The union will ask for, like, no off season. Like, that's what it'll come down to.
Jeff Saturday, yeah. Oh, no more of this contact. I mean, let's do everything at quarter speed or half speed and chalk those up as wins. I just, and look, the other part of this, you just mentioned it, Brian, a few minutes ago, the people that have to do this are the guys that have the most sway, the most juice. Because the reason why the Players Association always loses, or one of the reasons, is that there are guys at the bottom of the roster that need the paycheck. They can't actually, because again, whether you're Elgton Jenkins in the offseason.
And lots of them.
Or Zach Tom, or rank and file, you know, number 40 to 53 on the roster. Those are the guys that the only thing that they have is withholding their services, and they can only withhold their services for so long, right? Those guys, yep. If there were to be a lockout or a strike, that always is the ultimate cudgel that the NFL owners have to work with, because sooner or later, those guys are going to cave. And there has to be a way for these high-profile, multi-million-dollar players to understand that and figure out a way to somehow, and I'm not saying that we're turning to communism here or anything, but subsidize those players so they can stand firmer for a little while longer, so you can get the things you want for the long term, both for you and your career and the players that come after you, because they always lose.
Well, that was the whole point, Jason, during, you know, I mean, we heard it during the entire, before the last CBA, we're building this war chest for players. We're putting money, they were taking money out of our paychecks to build a war chest for guys for the off season, right? For the, collecting money for this war chest. And what happened? We signed a deal that was bad, and no war chest money was even distributed. Like, right. it was like, what are we doing? So we took money out of guys' paychecks getting ready for this thing, and nothing happened. And it was kind of like, well, I don't understand. If we're going to do this, like, let's do it. Like, if we're going to take money out of guys' checks, which, listen, if we're going to fight for the greater good and we're going to make sure guys, like you said, at the bottom of rosters that need this money to make it through off season and maybe even longer, hey, that's fine with me. If we're going to get the better end of this deal, let's do
right.
it. No one, like, let's do it. But, like, don't talk about it. Like, let's do it then, right? Like, I mean, like...
I hate to interrupt this because I was told there's nothing to talk about in July, so you guys have proven as a team that that's not the case. You've talked brilliantly about it, but we've run out of time. Jason!
Well, Jason and I, we have time to talk about it tomorrow, because I'm on with Jason.
We do.
And guess who's on at 10:30 with the two of you? The greatest listener ever!
Oh,
I think. They haven't told you yet? Usually, I thought they gave you 48 hours warning when I was on. Maybe I got bad information, or maybe you'll fire me.
No, you're on.
Go ahead, Jason. Fire me right now. You don't have to be on at 10:30. Go ahead. Say it, Jason.
No, you will have every opportunity to be awkward at 10:30 like you are around 5:20 every Thursday.
I'll
All right, guys. Take
that
care.
As
be
a compliment.
Good.
Thanks, Jason. Next.
You're listening to the Homer Hour on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Jason Wilde and Brian Bulaga are so good together. Dr. Aaron Holterbeck and his team make vision care top priority with the latest technologies at the state-of-the-art Brookfield office. I went there and I was impressed. And then he said, well, we're not doing it good enough. What do you mean you're not doing it good? Yeah, we got to get even better. Help local patients with their eye care needs. So, while they've been doing it great for over 20 years, they added Dr. Nausheen Abbas so they can accept new patients and deal with even more issues, whatever your issue. Whatever your age, don't mess with your vision. Trust the experts. That means even more people now. From Holterbeck Eye Center in Brookfield to the corner of Calhoun and Capitol, learn more about their services at holterbeck.com. Now accepting new patients. The Brian Bulaga Homer Hour. And I just want to let you know, Jason's gone. But The current contract said that the players were to get 48%, and it would be up to 48.8 if there was a 17-game season. So they increased it 0.8. Well, if they go to 18, they got to increase it at least the same 0.8 to 49.6. I will gladly work for the players for free with that 1 point. If we're going to 18, then we're going to get this. We want at least the same 0.8. So now we're up to 49.6. How could the owners argue with that? And I'm sure they'd be willing to do it, right?
Well, that's got to get negotiated.
All right. Don't you think? Isn't that what you would say if you were representing the players? Unless you want even more, given that an 18th game is what creates even more health risk, or I don't know what you come up with.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's part of it. But when they always look at it, when something's given, something needs to be taken away. And that's the way they look at it. That's always how they look at it. So whatever that may be, whatever what was given in the last CBA, they always look at what can be retroactively taken away. And that's how this thing gets played all the time, right? There's never a time where it's like, okay, you've been given that, and now you can keep that. That's locked in, and now you can go get more because we're making more money. You can keep that.
We made a mistake by making the difference 0.8%. It really should be 0.4. Or something like that.
It's some weird thing like that. So it always gets reworked in some way, shape, or form. And the thing that Jason mentioned it, we always go back to the table. Or I always ask about this when I was playing. I'd always ask the union guys that would come in. I go, why do we always continue to not ignore, but just be okay with when guys walk out of here, when they retire, we're just good with 5 years of healthcare and we're good and everyone's fine. Well, we're working on that. Or, well, that's just kind of the way it's always been. I go, well, why is that just always the way it's been? I go, why isn't that something we want? Well, then we'll have to give something else up. I go, well, what do you mean we got to give something else up? I go, I just don't understand. Like, why is it always that way? But like, and that's part of the thing that, you know, you mentioned that, you know, guys always, and we kind of both agree on it. Guys always look at the short term. They don't look at, you know, down the road, right? They don't like to look at things down the road and costs down the road and things that are going to approach you down the line. And that's where the NFL is able to get guys to agree to these deals. And it'll be interesting if they get the 18th game, which I think will come sooner than later, or that conversation will come sooner than later, what gets done. Like, because if the players union just goes, okay, we'll take an extra, like you said, 0.8%, you can't do that. Because now we're really talking about health risks. Like, it's true, like, health and safety. Like, that's a lot of games. Yep. That's a lot of games. Like, and we've already seen it too, right? We've seen, like, the end of the season game, like the 17th game, like a lot of these division game, the titles are decided, right? Like the playoff seedings are like decided. So what if we get the 18th game? Then what are we going to see? Who's going to be playing?
Right. Well, my theory on that is they'll also, I think, expand to having two byes. So then you're lengthening the season. Now you're going to have a 20-week season. So now I've got even more money coming in. But I'm not sure who's going to win. We need your help. We have a comment from Giannis about returning to Milwaukee, and only another pro athlete can respond. Brian Bulaga on Giannis talking about coming back to Milwaukee next.
Welcome back to the Homer Hour on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Cisco Auto Body. So you'll have an auto body place forever. How can they be so good? Well, Fisco Auto Body on Forest Home in Franklin. It's a family business owned since 1931. It's not what they do, it's who they are. Some family businesses sell, not Fisco's. They got the same family people doing it, just another generation. Imagine how young they were when they started doing this, and that's how they're so good now. Fisco Auto Body on Forest Home in Franklin. Expert workmanship, guaranteed for the life of your vehicle. You'll thank them because they're so good, and then eventually you'll thank me. People think better of me when they go to Fisco. Yeah. Fisco. to remember the name. All right. We have comments from Giannis. Give us the background on this. This is on some show.
So Giannis was in Greece with a streamer, YouTuber, live streamer personality called iShowSpeed. He has like almost 4 million subscribers on YouTube. But they were in Greece, and of course, Giannis was on the stream with iShowSpeed. And one of the things they talked about was Giannis, is he going to stay in Milwaukee? Is he going to go somewhere else? So during this live stream, so this is what Giannis had to say about staying in Milwaukee.
L.A., the tax is bad. New York tax is bad.
Yeah.
Hell no.
A lot of people have tried to convince me to go and play there and stuff.
Oh, no. So you staying in Milwaukee?
Probably. We'll see.
What? Brian Bulaga? I don't want to say anything. I want to hear what you say. Did you expect better?
I don't know if I expected better, but that sounds like he's staying. He probably sounds.
Yeah,
that sounds like a guy that's pretty confident that he's staying.
Sir, I have a question then. Why couldn't he say when he's asked? Yeah, I'm coming back to Milwaukee. I don't all these stories. I'm coming back to Milwaukee. Move on to something else. Would that have been that hard? He didn't just probably once. He repeated it, and to me, clearly left open the possibility. Or am I wrong?
Well, no, he left open the possibility because he obviously doesn't want to say yes for sure. Then something could happen, and then obviously he disappoints everyone. You've already stated here many times he's been ranked the nicest guy ever award. So, I mean, he does not want to do that, right? He does not want to doesn't want to make a guarantee. Then, hey, you never know what trade or something happens, and, he goes. So, but it does seem like he is going to stay. I mean, Milwaukee's done... made a lot of moves to try to entice him and keep him and make him seem interested or to keep him engaged in staying. So to me, it sounds like he, at least from that clip, and it's hard to gauge him because obviously I don't, follow the Bucks and hear him.
No,
speak
I wanted
all
you
the
to
time.
Comment, just based on what you heard. You think I think it's good. But I don't know why, given all the debate about things being said that just aren't true, they could have said, nothing's for sure. Weird things could happen. But yeah, I'm planning on coming back to Milwaukee. Probably.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it sounds, he's.
All right. I mean, I'm going to have his back. I said he was going to leave. And I didn't give him, and I'm going down with the ship. I believe deep down that he wants to stay, and I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. But I guess you're right. It's probably his agent said, nothing's for sure. So
yeah,
make him feel good, but don't.
You can't guarantee it.
Don't guarantee it. Yeah.
You can't guarantee anything or say. Or say I'm coming.
It was a strong probably. I will give him that, right? It was a pretty
strong probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those were confident probablys.
Yeah.
I will say that those were confident probablys.
Put that down for Bulaga. Yeah. He's feeling good about Giannis. I'm staying with him till the end. I'll be disappointed if I'm wrong, but I'm not taking that other side anymore. He's too great a person. All right. Our discount liquor Twitter poll question. You ready to vote on this?
Yep.
Given that maybe their union isn't quite strong enough, should NFL players make even more money than they do now? Yes or no?
Yes.
What a shock. 83% say you're wrong.
That's hilarious. It's just, it's really funny.
Yeah, I mean, you're being nice. It's sad. Football is the worst sport. It's the most dangerous to your body. For people that don't think should make more money, go to an NFL alumni golf tournament. You will leave saying, I sure hope I'm not any good. I'm glad I'm not any good in football, and I hope my kids aren't.
Yeah. Like, it's just...
You can't explain it.
Yeah, I can't. I can't. It's,
All right.
All right.
The Wisconsin, great basketball team, 2015. That night they had. Special night next.